that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Well, astonishingly, although the Fly Me to the Moon squad continues to expand and we bring on board a new signing today, yes, a new brand spankingly new signing to the team, I'm going to have to launch probably just as our main man, Mr. Middlesbrough himself, of course, fresh from, of course, the pre-match warm-up with the Ali Brownlee Social Club at Base Camp in Middlesbrough, will be connecting with us, of course, is Robert Nichols. But I'll do the introductions to start off with. We say a hearty welcome back, of course, to Jenny Finch, our ace author currently in Tipperary. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine, thank you, and happy to be here.
Excellent. We also welcome back the awesomely talented soul of whom it has been said by the mayor of Middlesbrough, no less, Andy Preston. Kadeem loves Middlesbrough and he loves football. All of this comes across in his work with his unusual style and approach. He challenges readers to think hard and reconsider things they take for granted. This is a great thing. Welcome, Kadeem. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
The awesome Kadeem Hussain there. And proving that one Jenny is not enough. We need two Jennies to join us. So we've got our second Jenny with us. She's an ace. I think it's fair to say Jenny Bill, international competitor in terms of ice skating, still do lots of ice skating work. Now currently working with a club in I think in the northeast that isn't Middlesbrough. I think it might be what, New Sunderland or something. No, it's Newcastle. I think is actually that. Yeah. Jenny, welcome to your first Fly Me to the Moon. How are you?
Fine, thank you very much. I'm here. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. So I'm about to find.
You successfully predicted Italy were going to win the European Championships, and that's enough to actually put you into the footballing scenario, Fly Me to the Moon. And, of course, the genius behind everything, including, of course, the Fly Me to the Moon podcast and the fanzine, issue 617, which is already available and out there. Robert Nichols, how are you?
I'm all right, Alex. I'm excited because we're not only about to, on the verge of going back for a new season at the Riverside, but returning after all these months and actually being able to watch our own team at home. It's a big step.
Absolutely. And who better than Nigel Pearson to come along to say, hello, everybody. It's big Nigel back again.
Yeah, isn't that? It's amazing, isn't it? Because obviously Nigel Pearson was the player as captain that led Borough onto the pitch for the first ever game at the Riverside. So it's amazing that he should be the manager coming back in the opposition dugout. So, yeah, it's going to be a very special and I think it'll be quite a sort of emotional day tomorrow.
Well, should have been at the top. We could have been at the top, should have been at the top, looked good, but the goals dried up at home. It's like haiku, written in Kadeem Hussain's inimitable manner. Kadeem, would you like to share with us a little bit of information about the text of which it has been written? On indeed page 7 of the current edition of Fly Me to the Moon, Kadeem Hussain's third book of football poetry, not bad for someone that when he arrived in England in the late 1960s, couldn't speak a word of the language and then immersed himself in the science labs at ICI Wilton. Was it something in the science and the chemistry, Kadeem, that converted you into a Middlesbrough supporter as opposed to, I don't know, Newcastle United or Manchester City?
No, I think it's much more simple, actually. It's Rob Nichols. No, it's true, because I met Rob when I was going for a curry, and Rob was a sort of mind of information and dragged him to a lot of places. And when the book came out, I met Rob on Lintott Road and said, I'm doing a launch of my fanzine at Borders, Weekend Park. Come and read a poem. And I said, Rob, I've got no football poems. He looked at me and said, you've got 2 weeks to write one. I wrote the Punjabi one, Bale Bale. And he was so impressed, said, why don't you write one for the whole match? And that's when I became a Borough fan, because you're reading about the club, doing all the research. So it's Rob Nichols introduced me to football. Right.
Rob, clearly you have actually sort of worked your magic yet again. But I'm going to ask Jenny, before we kick off into a whole range of things for this little episode, can you give me a number between 1 and 27, Jenny? And we'll take our first little sight reading from Kadeem's Should Have Been at the Top, and so on.
Which Jenny?
Yeah.
Your Jenny, Jenny Finch. Irish Jenny, we'll say.
I'm Jenny.
Number too. 7.
Number 7 you've gone for. Okay, and curiously, number 7 actually brings us neatly round to England Expects, written according to Kadeem, which was when you were watching Germany versus Costa Rica on the 9th of June, 2006. Just goes to show what can inspire you. 2006, Germany, Costa Rica. It goes. It's the 9th of June, Friday, 5 o'clock. Germany kicks off against Costa Rica to start the greatest spectacle on earth. England will play Paraguay tomorrow and, like the Germans, win their opening match, but 4-0. The football fans in the ground watching in the pub or glued to the telly at home will echo the sentiments of the famous admiral. England expects that every man will do his duty. Most, I suspect, will be hoping and praying this time England can beat the rest, like the team of 66, and bring home the World Cup. Sadly, in our dimension, Kadeem, we didn't do anything like that, but what the hey, it's a different reality and a different time. A little epic little piece there, and we'll have one or two others that'll come through from that point.
Well, and that's England, you know, we expect that.
Yeah, well, you know, we came very close this time round, and if Jenny Bill hadn't predicted that Italy were going to win, I'm sure Gareth Southgate would have been a happy man still. What the hey? Actually, Jenny, just for yourself, Jenny Bill, do you have a particular team that you follow? I know you're suffering the joys of working with Newcastle United at present, so we appreciate you can't really talk about Steve Bruce and the tune, and why would we on Fly Me to the Moon? But do you sort of follow the team in any way, shape or form, or follow any team?
Yeah, I've come from London and I've always been a Chelsea fan, and I used to go to a lot of Chelsea games. And I also, not so much now, but many years ago, I used to follow the Italian league quite closely because it used to be the Football Italia that used to be, I think, Channel 4. I've got like, my best friend, her boyfriend is really heavily involved in football. So I tend to kind of follow internationally, he's involved. So I tend to kind of follow what's going on with him as well. It's kind of hard now, though, because I don't think it's so easy to, it's so expensive to go to matches now. And it's obviously not as easy as it used to be when I was younger, a long time ago. I played a ladies football team when I was like in my early teens. I was very much into football, and I still watch it, but I do really enjoy international football. I got a little bit fed up sort of with domestic football. It's just nice to see something different.
Mm. Well, there we are. And football and ice skating, ever put them together? I mean, Billy Ashcroft used to do that when playing for the Middlesbrough team.
No, can't put them together. No.
It's just picking
the ball will ruin the blades.
Wish somebody told me that a few years ago. Rob, let's go to the nitty-gritty. Soul Bamba, probably the sole bright light about your illumination in Blackpool, which was anything but illuminating in the first round of the Carabao Cup. Share the pain, Rob. Let's get it out of the way. 3-0. What the heck happened?
Yeah, it was very bleak, unlike the tower. It was lit up in ultramarine and all sorts of colours. But it absolutely tanked down immediately on arriving at Bloomfield Road, and the temperature dropped. It became autumnal, and you had to feel for all these families that were there with loads of little kids in t-shirts, and it was awful. The weather was awful, and obviously on the pitch there wasn't a lot to entertain because it was our second choice versus Blackpool's second choice, and obviously Middlesbrough are really under strength. And in fact, Neil Warnock said today that the following day when they did the training, they had to play four aside. There was only eight players fit. So we're sort of, we need to get a lot of people in quickly. I think that was the message that came out of the game, because our second string was just not good enough. And so we haven't got any strength in depth. And basically he thought he couldn't risk any first team players. Ironically, you might have thought that maybe we were best out of that cup since we hadn't got the players to spare. But ironically, we would have faced Sunderland in the second round, so it would have been quite a sort of special affair, really. But yeah, it was bleak.
Well, you were speaking to Neil Warnock this morning. I'll continue the name dropping by saying I was speaking to former England international Trevor Stephen. I have actually quizzed him on a few things relating to Middlesbrough. It's fair to say he kept his cards close to his chest and wanted to stay on message of how it's important to learn foreign languages. He cited, of course, his own experience of playing for Olympique Marseille after he actually left Everton, indeed Glasgow Rangers. I thought actually just learning Scottish was sufficiently enough of a foreign language to merit that. I don't think he actually sort of saw the point, but never mind. Jenny, so far, Mr. Bowler has scored one goal and Middlesbrough have conceded four. Is this going according to the Jenny Finch master plan of how, from your island base, Neil Warnock is doing a cunning plan, as indeed we should technically always say, as the mainstream media do, 72-year-old Neil Warnock. I don't know why they have that creeping ageism in, but it's very rare that you actually see anything referring to Neil Warnock which doesn't have 72-year-old Neil Warnock in the actual descriptor. So, Jenny, what's happening from your own perspective? Were you shocked with the Blackpool result, and do you feel it's all going to come good with a 4-0 thrashing of Bristol City?
I was a bit shocked when I saw the result. I could only get the results. I couldn't get any detail of the match. I assumed it was second team, and I assumed it was pretty dire. I think he's lulling them into a false sense of security. So people hold back their first team players thinking, oh, well, these are going to be a pushover. And then he's going to kick the bejesus out of them. At least I hope so.
Kadeem, does that resonate with yourself? I mean, you know, was it a case of you were expecting the Blackpool result, but it's all going to come good now?
What was that for me?
Oh, yes.
It was, Kadeem. Pay attention in the back there.
I will. Yeah, I have actually. The thing is with me, I will always be suspicious about the cup matches. For the last two seasons, we haven't done very well with the cup matches, so I didn't expect to go very far. But that was a shock yesterday. You know, I expected to be maybe 1-0. But that was, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, concentrating on the league, it doesn't really hold any water as far as things are concerned. Rob, as ever, you've outdone yourself with respect to the first official championship programme of this season. The paper copy, Fly Me to the Moon, of course, a mere £1.50. Would you like to share with us how you've also got involved with Fly Me to the Moon and, of course, the Ali Brownlee Social Club, named after, of course, the legendary BBC's presenter and commentator, and how people can maybe even meet you in a socially distanced way before the match tomorrow and purchase one of these awesome magazines?
That's very true. Yes, I was approached by Ali Brownlee's Social Club over the summer. What they were doing was reaching out to Borough fans around the world during COVID and trying to keep people interconnected. I thought that's a really, really great thing to do. And now they're taking it on board through the season from their base camp HQ. It's called Base Camp. And I thought, yeah, this would be a really good way of connecting with people. And as well as the Saturday's pre-match and post-match, I'm going to be working with them on events. Maybe we'll get you signed up at some stage, Kadeem, with your book. But yeah, got a few events penciled in for the following months. Things like people doing talks about their books, exhibitions, and maybe the odd play. So it could be quite exciting, I think, and all done quite sort of in a way that's sort of respectful to people's anxiety post COVID. If it is really post COVID, and yes, tomorrow I'll be there sitting outside Base Camp, which is just near the railway station. It's in Exchange Square, which is where the archives used to be. And I'll be sitting outside selling some fanzines. You can have something to eat, have something to drink. I might even have some stickers with me giving you some free offers. And then I'll be back there after the match, perhaps, depending on the result. But it'll be, you know, there's a car park behind that's £1 to get in. So it's a new sort of setting. And maybe it's a nice way for people to start their match days. And obviously tomorrow, Alex, everyone has to wear red. We return in red.
And if you wish, so to we use the wonderful What Three Words app. It's simply a case of goods, heats, coast to actually take you straight to the front door. Goods, heats, and coasts. It's a strange world, the 21st century. Never quite understood it, but there we are. I'll get there in the end. For those people who are listening to this on Red Army Radio, of course, as part of redarmy.tv, or indeed listening to it via the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.site, just in case you're wondering, if you're listening to this anytime after Friday, the 13th of August, then you'll have to go back in time to see Rob. Unless, of course, it's Saturday morning. I just want to put that out there. You know, some people might still not tune into the podcast until after they know the results of the match. I do know people who do this, you know, so it's just by the by. Jenny, would you like to quiz Kadeem on the awesome third publication, as they say, should have been at the top, which features, as I say, a despairing Borough fan on the cover there, looking obviously head in hands with, of course, the transporter bridge behind him as well. So over to you, Jenny. Finch.
Jenny me?
Yes, Jenny you.
Yes. Kadeem, that is a really striking cover. How did you design it, or did someone design it for you? Because covers are really important when you're selling and promoting a book.
Yeah, but the cover is very important. I've been very lucky because when I used to work, I had a friend of mine who worked at KP, Steve Barker, and he was good at this sort of thing. And I sent him a poem. I said, I'm doing this book. I need a cover, but I want to bring Middlesbrough in. I don't want to use a photograph. And he came up with the poem I sent him was this, could have been, should have been at the top. And this is based with the Marlon Brando, the waterfront. Where we said it could have been a champion with Contender. And he came up with a few photographs. One was with sort of me in his sort of jacket, right? And I thought, well, we could kind of forget the face, right? And then he came up with this figure. It could be just any fan. We had about 3 or 4 goals with this.
Any fan, but not a Manchester City fan, I'd have to say, Kadeem. I'm just saying. That's by the by.
I think at the moment we just talk about Middlesbrough fans.
Well, let's move on from that. Rob, strangely enough, and I know this is a shocker, certainly for the listener, there are more poets than Kadeem who actually are around, who actually also contribute to the Fly Me to the Moon. Jimmy Flynn being, of course, one of them. Sorry, Kadeem, but, you know, he has actually sort of put another epic in here. And I think for the season start, are you ready, Rob, to actually do the wonderful Nichols Levchuk two-header to actually take us through what will probably be the last word on UEFA 2020 as held in 2021? Page 11, I believe, if you wish to actually follow along with your paperback in hand. Again, some people have been known to do this. They listen to the podcast whilst looking at the magazine as well. It's wondrous. It's like a BBC educational system of the late 1960s. Mm. Are you ready, Rob?
And Jimmy Flynn, of course, was a Borough junior back in the day, a long time ago. I think he might have played against... did he play against Brian Clough? He told me he was around quite a while ago, and he tells me he's not going to be able to go back to the Riverside just yet. But yeah, we do like your commentary, we do like your poems, Jim, and I'm sure Kadeem also appreciates them.
Well, he'll get a chance now because he can actually critique the actual poet as indeed we're delivering it. So let's start this one off. The UEFA 2020 tournament kicked off a year late, but the soccer spectacle it provided was well worth the wait.
Europe's best put on a football jamboree, and an antidote to COVID misery it proved to be.
With fans once more allowed into each ground, a release for pent-up emotions was found.
With social distancing and face masks the new norm, the tournament assumed a strange, unfamiliar form.
Daily flow tests and social bubbles allowed competing teams to steer clear of COVID troubles.
With the advantage of playing their games on Wembley's hallowed floor, the English Lions roared louder than ever before.
As Gareth Southgate's young guns held the nation spellbound, the UEFA trophy appeared to be blighty bound.
With giants of world football effortlessly dispatched along the way, the soccer seniors of Italy were their opponents on final day.
With Wembley Stadium a cauldron of atmospheric emotion, England surged forward like a wave on an incoming ocean.
They scored a goal almost before the game had begun, and the despairing Italians were on the run.
Then, mysteriously, England lost their attacking bent, and protecting their lead became their one intent.
With the European crown in their grasp, it was lost in a momentary combined concentration lapse.
The prize England's Lions had striven so valiantly for was gone when Italy levelled the score.
An innocuous free kick, which they failed to clear, cost the gallant young Lions dear.
The football gods pulled their rug and England fell foul of the dreaded penalty shootout bug.
I wonder if in the future we will ever see an England team get so close to football immortality.
Wow. I mean, I got chills just listening to the incarnation there. Jenny, what about yourself? How did you rate I feel it's like Nichols and Leftuke back to our finest period of last term, basically. But what the hey, you know.
Yeah, you can feel the emotion in that. I mean, it just comes flooding through. It obviously really hit him really, really hard. And it was an emotional roller coaster. I think he summed it up beautifully.
Let's go to Jenny Bill. Jenny, your thoughts on this, having sort of watched the tournament, was a case of, well, I was an Italy supporter, so frankly, it was the right result.
Yeah. It's all your fault.
I want the best team to win, so I enjoy the matches. I actually thought it was a much better tournament than I was expecting it to be with everything that's gone before. And I think it was hard because some of the venues were, there was a lot of fans and it made a huge difference to the atmosphere. And I think that actually affected some of the teams, the way that they performed. I mean, some of them, the audiences were crazy, and some of them, I think the ones in Scotland, and one or two others. And then there was a lot of problems for the fans with traveling and stuff like that, which I think actually these things did affect the players because they feed so much on the energy that they get from an audience at a football match. But overall, I was really impressed with it all. And it was a really bizarre tournament because I think although you come in and you think you're expecting these great matches, maybe from two great teams, France, Germany, and they weren't necessarily that great. And I thought they started really well, and then I thought they weren't that great. I was disappointed in Portugal. England did so much better than I ever thought they were going to do. It was a very emotional, very turbulent, and I think live football after so long, it was just a great celebration.
A general summation of the tournament there, which was a masterclass, or indeed a mistress class. All I was asking, Jenny, was did you like Jimmy Flynn's poem?
I know, but it was supposed to be reflecting the tournament, wasn't it? And I loved watching the Euros because I got a bit carried away there, sorry.
Kadeem, from one poet to another, did you feel, yes, I think we should actually be working together like Gilbert and Sullivan, like Madron and Bohm, like Foggan and Hickton?
I think he's in a different league to me. He's a lot better than me. This is brilliant, the poem, to be honest. Sums up everything. If you read that, if you read the 10 years later, you'll still be able to feel the goosebumps, feel all the emotions there. It's done a really good job.
You may say that, Kadeem, but I still feel that your description of Steve McLaren is still awesome. I mean, Steve grabs a bottle is one which we also read out back in the day, Tuesday, June the 5th, 2007, poem inspired by the incident when in the last minute of the match when Brazil equalised, Steve McLaren grabbed his bottle of water. It sums up his entire managerial career in many ways. Grab that bottle of water. Only kidding, Steve. We know you've won a trophy with Middlesbrough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, as the saying goes, but our Steve grabs a bottle. Some people talk the talk and walk the walk, but our Steve grabs a bottle. Wednesday, when England face Estonia in Tallinn, will our Steve grab a bottle of champagne or water? Genius. I mean, you could always set that to music, really. It's amazing. Sad news, Rob, because whatever your feelings with respect to Leeds United, it would seem that the majority of the Donnarumma side are dropping alike or transcending in their own sort of ways, because we lost another great who, of course, had connections with the borough and indeed sent his child to the same school I went to. And oh, the excitement when Terry Cooper wandered through those doors with his son as well. But sadly, Terry Cooper, no more.
Yeah, very sad. One of my first football memories, really, is of getting a card of Terry Cooper out of an ice cream from a Tony Bell ice cream van. And it was in the middle of the 1970 World Cup in Mexico, which was the first World Cup that I really remember. And we used to watch it early on a morning. And Terry Cooper was absolutely dazzling. He was this overlapping fullback that was really sort of setting the tournament alight, never mind Pele and people like that, because who would come to the fore later on. But right up until the time that we got knocked out in the quarterfinal against Germany, Terry Cooper was the kind of English hero. And then straight after the World Cup, he broke his leg. And when you got a leg break in those days, it was a much, much bigger deal than it is now. And his didn't heal properly. And I realised when I was looking at his obituary that I'd forgotten that he was out for 3 years. It's a long, long time out of your career, isn't it? And when he came back, he didn't quite look like the same player. Leeds weren't so patient with him. And his former teammate, who's obviously, again, sadly passed on, Jack Charlton, took him to Middlesbrough. And it was brilliant. We were signing this guy that was an England World Cup star, and it was like signing Ravanelli, if you see what I mean, from the time. And that's what you're alluding to, aren't you, Alex, with Terry Cooper going into the school. He was like a big star, and he played for about 100 games for Borough, scored some goals, and he was thrilling to watch him going up and down the flank. And for once, the chicken run, they actually used to applaud somebody. It was a problem for them. There was a couple of seasons there where they had to applaud the fullback rather than
Frank Spraggan.
Yeah.
Poor old Frank, you know, he just never stood a chance when Cooper was signed. It was the end of the days, and we know Frank Spraggan, and he's a good soul, but you know, John Craggs and Terry Cooper, it was part of almost a dream team, basically. Mm. Still.
Yeah, it was.
Onwards. Bristol City are the opponents. Jenny, what is your prediction for the score? I mean, we could actually talk about, in fact, we go for a double whammy, because up next week, of course, Queen's Park Rangers on the 18th of August. Yes, football cliche alert.
Yeah.
The fixtures are already coming thick and fast.
Yes.
Oh, Bristol. I think it might be 2-1 to Bristol. Sorry.
Wow.
Oh, Italy, then Bristol City.
Yeah, it's they were saying they needed more spice on Flowers of the Moon. What the hey?
Yes.
Jenny Finch, what about yourself?
I think it's going to be 2-1, but I think it's going to be the other way around. I think the Borough are going to bounce back. They did really well against Fulham, and I think the first team is going to shape up very well. So 2-1 to Middlesbrough.
We haven't had a chance to speak about Fulham, of course, Rob. I mean, were you pleased with the London experience, given that the public transport was as effective as we've always known it is in London, i.e. completely useless?
Yeah. I was delighted. It was, in many respects, as I think, I don't know whether I've said this to you before, but there's no covered concourse at Fulham. So it was a good sort of way of going back into watching football again. You didn't have to walk through a crowded room with low ceiling or anything, because you're outside, so that was important. And then we were playing against a team that are surely going to be the favourites to get promoted, and they looked very strong. It was a bit of a turgid affair for a long time, but the way that we came back gives me a lot of heart. And if we can get some of those players that are fit for tomorrow, then I think that we can beat. I agree with Jenny. If we can get those players fit, then we can beat Bristol City 2-1. Despite their phenomenal record, the phenomenal record of the Robins at the Riverside, we can beat them 2-1. And then we've got another difficult game, because QPR have actually spent money for once on Wednesday. But I think we could beat them 2-1 as well. So 2-2-1s, that would be good.
2-2-1s. Okay. Yeah. thanks obviously to Emma Latham, Nazabat Hussain, Al Aftad Hussain, Shahzad Hussain, Mohammed Ishaq, John D, and Nicole Bean, Ben Sawyer, Biba Jabi, Marty Wright, Al Satig, Ridha Mohammed, Al Rida, Koram Ahmed, AJ Garrett, Carl Martini, and others. I've just gone to the first 14 of 20 sort of people who backed, obviously should have been at the top. See what I did there? Thanking your sponsors, Kadeem. Just slipped in there from that point of view. How can people get hold of a copy of Should Have Been at the Top?
Well, you can get them to the Facebook, or you can buy them from the corner bookshop in Saltburn.
There you go.
The Alter Eagle.
So that's the corner bookstore. And maybe even Rob Nichols might have one or two that he could sell as bonus copies tomorrow at the Riverside as well. What say you, Rob?
I'm not at the Riverside, but at Basecamp, you mean?
At Basecamp.
Basecamp, then.
If they materialise into my hands.
Yes. Well, you know, given that between the three of us, we're only separated by about half a square mile. I think that should be sort of fairly reasonable.
That's actually. Actually.
Yeah, there it goes.
Don't ruin the mystery.
Look, we can't all be in the joys of Tipperary or Newcastle. It's just saying. Kadeem, what are your predictions for the home games against Bristol City and QPR?
Well, Bristol City, I think 2-1 for Middlesbrough. And I'm not optimistic. I will say so. 2-1 again for Middlesbrough.
So obviously QPR matching Rob's. I'll go 4-0 for Middlesbrough against Bristol City, and 3-2 for Borough versus QPR. Because you know, I maintain that optimism. Whatever. Rob, how can people subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon to accompany the podcast?
I'm glad you asked. Because I won't be, I don't think at this stage I'll be going to be actually standing outside the ground selling fanzines. I'll be going to Basecamp for now with a few fanzines. But yeah, please subscribe. If you go to the website fmttmborough.com and click on fanzine shop, then all the details are there. Or look on Facebook for FMTTM or myself on Facebook, and the details will be there as well.
The first home game of a new season is always a special experience. The close season is always cathartic. No matter what has happened the previous season, it is the chance to start again. A renewed hope. Today will represent a totally different experience. The words of Chris Bartley. We haven't even mentioned Paddy Dillon. All around him are familiar faces. It's a mad world. Perhaps there's a reference there. And a whole heap of others, including good to see that Jude, aged 11, is still writing his Thanks Again, Mrs. Warnock column, a thank you by Jude, aged 11, as told to Neil Weldon. Just some of the little snippets of magic you can get in the latest edition. We will be back, doubtless, before too long as well, for another
Alex, we have to jump in at this stage and say we've got to say congratulations to Thomas Bartley, who's been a guest with us before now. He's just got into Warwick University. So he's been writing since he's about 10, I think, for the fanzine. And he's been a guest on the podcast, and he's off to university now. So well done, Thomas.
Congratulations, Thomas. Richly deserved. Enjoy the whole sequence. And as we often say to our undergraduates and graduate students, there's always a place for you in the Fly Me to the Moon expanded family. Okay, so I think we've done all our predictions. Jenny Bill, did you enjoy your first Fly Me to the Moon?
I did, but after my prediction, I don't know if you'll want me
back. Well, you still get to give your QPR prediction. So you said 2-1 to Bristol City. No. What are you going for QPR?
2-0 to QPR. I'm just kind of...
Wow. This, of course, could be part of the secret weapon that Jenny Finch was referring to. We just lull them into a false sense of security. So all good stuff there. Well, Rob, it's up for you to actually wrap up and guide the assembled team in those final seven significant words. Lord knows whether Jenny will say it unless you can translate it into Italian. Off you go, Rob.
Yes, we always finish in the traditional way of saying come on, Borough, and up the Borough. In that order, do we not, Alex? So if you count us 1, 2, 3, yeah. Then we can all...
And following this, I think we'll actually have the Trevor Stephen interview. I was fortunate enough to actually finish this morning. So you have a bonus for all sorts of things on that side of things as well. And we'll find out what Trevor Stephen thinks about Neil Warnock and the Borough. So after three.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
It's probably a fair point to say that music and sport are two of the most universally understood human languages. But at the same time, it's always nice to actually know what's being said in terms of the nuances and various other aspects as well, and to share with us his particular experiences of how important it has actually been in his own career to actually learn a foreign language. We've actually got an individual who I must admit I was always keen for my own particular favourite sides to sign back in the day. But sadly, Trevor Stephen never did play for Manchester City. Never mind, Trevor. We still think you're an awesomely talented footballer. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Alex. Thanks for inviting me on the show. I mean, the language thing that you're referring to, when I was 26, 27 year old, I had the opportunity to go and play in France. And I always wanted to play abroad. Mm. The reasons for that was to develop myself culturally, and a language would help me do that. So I started to learn French, kind of thrown in at the deep end when you're put into a dressing room with a bunch of mainly French people, but certainly French was the dominant language. You don't understand anything at the start. Yeah. So I was pushed into a corner, but willingly, and started to pick up French. And by the end of that season, you know, I was pretty fluent at French, but I worked at it. And, you know, to this day, I still continue. And I'm working now with Rosetta Stone, you know, the famous language learning online courses that they do. So I'm brushing up on my French literally on a daily basis, 15, 20 minutes. And it's an opportunity out there, I think, for players who want to go and play abroad
It's also really interesting how you mentioned that. Obviously, you were part of a whole pioneering group. It was Trevor Francis, of course, Gary Lineker went off to play for Barcelona and so on. And inevitably, the key things that were coming across, the takeaways, were if you actually made that attempt to communicate with your fellow players and professionals, it would work a lot more positively than, shall we say, Ian Rush at Juventus in Italy. But there we are. That's another line.
Yeah, it is all about taking the first step. And I would like to encourage young footballers, you know, whether you're at grassroots level, academy level, is to take that step and go and learn a language, start learning it. And, you know, with Rosetta Stone, you're able to do that with a free offer until the 30th of November, which happens to be Merseyside Derby Day. So if you visit the, you know, rosettastone.co.uk/football, there's 3 months of free learning for you. You know, from the start, you get that 3 months free. So visit that website and get yourself started, and you won't regret it. There's no time like the present. And there's maybe why Ian Rush struggled a little bit, because he didn't embrace it. And communication is so vital to a good team spirit, a good cohesiveness in a team. So you can never start too early.
Absolutely essential. I suppose actually Germans would seem to be a good choice of language as well, given the number of players Borussia Dortmund have actually been processing from English leagues.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you entirely. There's definitely a pathway there that's been created, you know, with Jude Bellingham, Jadon Sancho. These young guys are going across there and culturally developing. You know, it's a great experience to get.
Yeah, very much so. Now, you mentioned, obviously, teasing ahead I think it's, you know, it's not quite of the same talent as the Manchester United Man City derby, but it's a kind of Liverpool equivalent, the Everton versus, of course, those other people.
That's your opinion, Alex.
I'm just putting it out there, Trevor. Yeah. Just by the by. But clearly, Rafa Benitez is somebody who has actually got on record as saying that one of the things that helped him was obviously looking at the songs of the Beatles and so on and so forth. I mean, it's interesting. Most of the pundits have not been putting Everton forward as a top six contender, top six challenger. This has obviously changed since obviously they had Ancelotti in charge from that point of view. Do you think they could be dark horses? I mean, for Everton fans, is there a possibility that actually getting it right, they could well usurp Jürgen's crown?
Oh, well, it's got to be difficult. You know, it's a difficult job anyway. Been in the shadow of Liverpool recently, but obviously the Manchester clubs have been quite dominant in recent decades almost, and Chelsea, and let's not forget them. But Rafa has been brave enough to take on the role, and he wasn't really welcomed in by many Evertonians, but he is an experienced individual. In footballing terms, he has got a track record which speaks for itself. Now, you know, as language goes, it's got to be so important that he can communicate well with the new squad, and he can do that now. He's learned the communication skills, having been on Merseyside for a long time and lived there for a long time. And it is vital to get the message over that everybody understands. And I'm hoping for great things. They will need a good start in the league campaign for sure, just to get the blue half of Liverpool, you know, really behind him. I don't know what we're going to get. That's the problem, I think, that we have as Evertonians, as we're not quite sure what kind of reaction there's going to be to Rafa being at the helm. I'm hoping positive things. Getting into that top group of teams, though, is so difficult. Manchester City are so, so strong. And if they get Harry Kane, it's difficult to see past them. But Chelsea, I think, as well, getting Lukaku in, have already shown what a top, top team they've become since Thomas Tuchel took over the role.
Very interesting. I mean, I well recall an interview I had with, of course, the late, great Howard Kendall when he was in charge of City back at the time. I still think he should have signed you, Trevor. I still maintain this. I don't know how Howard was thinking about in terms of not actually saying, we need Trevor Stephen here for the ultimate City side at the time. But do you think in terms of the way that the league is rolling out now, I've got to also raise Middlesbrough as a championship side, etc., under Neil Warnock. Do you think we're in exciting times? Do you think that actually it's a case of it's great, or do you think somehow again we just need to settle back and enjoy the ride?
Well, I think football in England is in a great place. It's obviously had a tough year with the fans not being able to come and access the football matches, but I thought what was put on show last year, big credit to the players. Not easy when you're used to having that extra dimension, which is a crowd. And it can lift you, but can also add pressure. But that's all part of the game. And the teams can lift their games and deal with the pressure. And that's why you see such expensive purchases in the transfer window, because you need to buy the best now to compete. So the top end of that English Premier League looks to me like six or seven teams, and Europa League's positions are only going down to six. I know there's the new dimension in European football that's come with the new trophy. But Everton, particularly, they will be looking to try and challenge top four. And that's the kind of pressure that Rafa Benitez finds himself under.
And almost coming to the end, in terms of your own England experience, I mean, clearly you were part of arguably one of the most successful England sides, apart from obviously Sir Alf in 66 and then, of course, Gareth Southgate recently. Do you feel that the current outlook and prognosis for English players, particularly given, as we've been saying, the likelihood that more and more players like Jadon Sancho and company are getting European experience, external experience and so on, and are building their own profiles, do you feel that the future is rosy and up? Optimistic.
Yeah, very much so. The game has changed, technically anyway, but, England made a decision many years ago to create a base, St George's Park, and have a real link between the younger representation teams in England with the first team. And what we are seeing is the level of technical ability has gone up hugely. These young guys have been prepared to move abroad, take on that challenge. And if you look at the campaign that's just gone, we were so close. We just didn't quite have maybe enough free rein or belief at the end. But I'm sure that's going to come. I'm looking forward to Qatar next year. It won't be at the hottest time of year. It's end of November. So we've got a great chance. And I think we have got a brilliant manager who epitomises calm, drive and loving and caring for his players. And I think it's a very healthy position that we find ourselves in.
And that's exactly the reason why Trevor Stephen should actually join the BBC or ITV as one of our pundits extraordinaire, basically. You always tell it straight. I've got to ask you again, just Trevor, in terms of your clubs, Burnley, Everton, Rangers and Marseille, Is it Everton ultimately which you kind of lean towards, or is it a case of no? I always quite like to follow what Steven Gerrard's doing with Rangers these days.
No, I feel that you look at your football career and there are different stages, and the different clubs brought me different experiences and different successes. Burnley was going from a schoolboy to a young professional, and I won a trophy with Burnley, won the third division championship. Then I moved on to Everton, and that is where I sort of went from a boy to a man, and that was under Howard Kendall, who brought a great set of characters, personalities, and talent together. And we were hugely successful. At Rangers, it was slightly different because I was very much an established player by then, already playing for England. So that was a different experience as well. But I come from the northeast of England, almost in Scotland, from Berwick-upon-Tweed. So it was almost like going home for me. I enjoyed that experience. The Marseille one, as I was describing earlier, was a complete tangent. Learning the language was very much part of that, and playing with great players and success again, back to Rangers to finish my career. So I look at them as different stages. Everton was probably the one where I felt I was playing the best football of my career. I was still learning and developing, and we had a great side, and we had success, and we brought success to a club that hadn't had it for 15 years prior. So that was memories that I will cherish forever. Yeah, so I wouldn't like to put them in order. I love them all, and I follow them all, and I hope for the best for them all.
Absolutely. I mean, the likes of Kevin Ratcliffe, Peter Reid, Derek Mountfield, etc. Very, very good players. And, of course, your good self. Interesting, Rosetta Stone, just returning very briefly back to that whole side of things. As far as I'm aware, they don't actually sort of have any language course which enables you to actually deal with Scottish. I mean, is that something you think needs to actually put on board?
With accents. Well, Rosetta Stone will fine-tune your language in a gradual way. All you need to do is get online, go to rosettastone.co.uk/football and start your journey. Accents are something that are unavoidable. And I tell the story when Basil Boli came from Marseille to France, and I played with Basil Boli, the great French international centre-back. He came and joined us in Glasgow, and he learned English, but it was very Glaswegian. Yeah. He was all for the all right big man when he walked into the dressing room.
It's almost like going to Steve McLaren with a Dutch accent. Let's not go
We are going that way. You can fine tune it on the app, because they mark you on your pronunciation. And I think sometimes we get scared about speaking a language because we don't know the proper pronunciations. And Rosetta Stone will help you fine tune that too.
Trevor, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. Actually, I do have to ask you, just with respect to Middlesbrough Football Club, do you think that they will ever return to the Premiership again, or is it just a case of no, Neil Warnock's going to actually see out his career in the Championship?
You never know. I mean, Middlesbrough's a fantastic football club with a brilliant owner in Steve Gibson. They deserve to be up there. But you do look at that Championship and you look at teams that have been in the Premier League for a long time, have slipped and have struggled to regain it. You look at Derby County, for instance, under Wayne Rooney.
Let's look at Sheffield Wednesday. Then again, let's not. Let's just step away from that.
And, well, listen, I hope all the best to Middlesbrough, because again, it's a North East club. I always want them to do well.
Precisely. We might even say Sunderland as well. No, perhaps not. Trevor, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Just to remind us where people can go to find out more details about Rosetta Stone.
It's URL, it's rosettastone.co.uk/football. Get this offer 3 months free prior to the 30th of November. So anytime that you join up until that date, you will get three free months of learning another language.
Trevor, it's been absolutely fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. And again, on behalf of so many folk, many thanks for all the pleasures and treasured memories you brought to us over the years for England and indeed other clubs. Huge thanks for that. Keep on keeping on. Hopefully you return to us soon.
Lovely to talk to you, Alex. And it was great reminiscing on my football career there. Thank you.